You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Treating skin allergies is one of my specialties, so when a female patient came in last week with hives all over face, neck, and chest, 90% of the time I know exactly what it has to do with: gut health and food allergies. Now, I did my usual history workup, went through all her meals one by one, asking about the usual suspects: the dairy, the sugar, the gluten, alcohol, nuts and seeds, you know, seafoods, and possibly even pitted fruits, such as peaches and nectarines, and nothing came up that was a clear-cut answer to her hives. Now, my patients call me their medical detective, so as always, I continue digging deeper and deeper, and I started asking about her lifestyle, work, sleep, and stress level, and bingo, that was it. As soon as I talked about her work life and about her amount of stress, her eyes welled up with tears, and her skin got bright red, and new hives just literally started popping up in front of my eyes. Now, her allergy symptoms were really, I believe, from a psychosomatic condition, a physical illness caused or aggravated by a mental factor, and such as an internal conflict or stress. Now, today on Wellness for Life Radio, we have Dr. David Rosesweet. He's a nationally recognized speaker and also author of the Menopause Method. But he's also the founder of a new website called iwonderdoctor.com. It's a free informational website that helps empower patients through carefully crafted video content. Now, he is here to give us some insight on how stress plays a role in our overall health. Hey, welcome here, Dr. Rosesweet. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, hi, Suzanne. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, you've been here before, and this time we're going to talk a lot about how our mind and emotions can impact our health and even our future health, meaning diagnoses that we might even get. Can you give us some thoughts about that right now?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it from the vantage point of my own life and the challenges in my own life, and even more so through working with patients for so many years. And early on in my career, I realized that people were coming to me and they really wanted solutions, which means I had to really get down to, well, what can I give them? And I thought, I've got to understand what this is about. And over the years, I began distilling it down to that people have issues and challenges in the realm of nutrition and toxicity and exercise, too much or too little. But the elephant in most people's room is how they react to stress in their life. Because primitively, we have this biological mechanism that allows us to mobilize for fighting off saber-toothed tigers or running away from them. And it is one powerful internal response. I mean, mothers have been known to lift cars up off their entrapped child. That's how strong they got in the moment. And there's a lot of biology behind it. There's our hormones and neurotransmitters, and these are powerful biochemicals. And they're there for basic living functions, but they will have a secondary function. If they have to fight the tiger, they'll mobilize and do that. And one of the challenges is that over the course of time, when we overuse those systems, when we're caught in traffic or we're worried about cash flow or we have a relational challenge or a work challenge, we will ignite the exact same biological stress response as we did when we were running from saber-toothed tigers. We get an outpouring of adrenaline and cortisol, and women get an outpouring of estrogen and their own testosterone and progesterone. All of these hormones, they do great work to help us run or fight. And then if we do that too often, as so many people do, we start tiring out these systems. They're not able to keep up with the demands. And the other thing that happens is our bodies shift the emphasis away from what's considered to be vegetative functions or luxurious functions. Luxurious would be sexual functions, for example, reproductive functions. Vegetative functions, a funny name to give to the intestinal tract and the immune system. But when we're under fire, these are not priority systems to manage. And the energy that goes into those systems will shift over to the hormonal system. And my God, the gut it suffers, and the immune system, it suffers. And so when you start looking at someone who's become ill and you unravel what's really caused it and what tools do they need to address all this, one of the main things that they need to do is stop draining their energy, their hormones, their biochemistry out through the stress response, which means they need to learn how to react differently to the uncomfortable emotions and what's going on in their mind that's not beneficial or positive or helpful.
Right.
So therapists, and this is for the front line, for anyone who is really plagued by anxiety and depression, my God, if you can find a good support system, you can talk to a friend, a trusted advisor. There's an army of therapists out there, and some of them are so excellent, you never know until you go shopping, try them out. And this, because the emotions in the mind are so much at the source of what's giving people trouble, getting help there really matters. But then to address issues of nutrition, which can be playing a role in there, some people more than others, and we can support those systems through nutritional supplementation. Well, here we go, and you know this field so well, Suzanne. This is the medical detective work, and you know our aim, and I Wonder Doctor, is to give people the tools that they can deal with the emotions and mind of anxiety and depression, and also tuning up that diet and getting the
right
proper nutritional supplement. And
there's no doubt. Yeah, all of the things that I am so right there with you, what you're saying. You know, in my book, The 7-Day Allergy Makeover, it's my first book I wrote. It's all about allergies. I wrote about the fight, flight, and this nervous system called the autonomic nervous system, sympathetic dominant state, that I'd never found an allergy person who actually was a relaxed and calm person. We are, you know, jacked up in modern times, and you might not even display allergy symptoms in so many different ways. And now that I see more and more younger and younger people coming into my practice with allergies and with other types of symptomatology, this whole sympathetic dominant state where you're in this fight, flight, or fright state. And these are children, young people, young kids that can't sleep, and they've got insomnia, and they've got nervous twitches and tics that are, you know, it's really amazing. So let's talk a little bit about how can we change our lifestyle? What can we do? We talked a little, you mentioned about nutrition. So let's start there. What can we do right away today to help us mitigate some of our stress?
Well, one thing is we got to get rid of the aggravators. And people often use food to help modify their uncomfortable feelings. So if someone's feeling down a little bit, they're going to reach for some, quote, pleasure food. And it's one of the reasons the American diet has shifted so much to become so sugar-loaded and so soda pop-loaded and, you know, candy-loaded and chocolate-loaded, because they're feeling moderators. So you feel a little down, you take one of the most common uppers is food, you overeat. And one of the biggest challenges you can give to your glands outside of the stress reaction itself is challenging it with simple carbohydrates. Oh my God, it's, you know, we could talk a lot of ways that the simple carbohydrates, the sweets, the pastries, too many grains can really provoke the powerful insulin response, then the recovery response that's needed by adrenaline and cortisol. It's a dog chasing its tail type situation. The moral of the story is, oh, the tough one, can you let go of some of these pleasurizing foods that are actually beneficial for you, and they're triggering the stress response itself? And then I want to bounce around a little bit. In order to take something away that someone is using to help themselves feel better, I find it very important in actual practice to help them with the uncomfortable feeling they're trying to modify. And so one of the things we do is we help get people more aware of what's really giving the trouble. And we so often begin with what's outside of us. But anyone who really pays attention to this and goes on a journey of healing realizes that again, elephant in our room is our own fear, our own sadness, anger, shame, guilt, emptiness, loneliness, meaninglessness, hopelessness. These are words to describe what those uncomfortable feelings are. And anyone with anxiety and depression, if you go a little deeper, if you say, I feel anxiety, what do I really feel? You're going to hit one of those words. Mm. And if you can acquire the skill of recognizing what you feel, let's say it's fear, for example, and being a safe space for your own fear, you let that feeling be exactly what it is, and all you have to do is feel it. You don't have to tell anybody about it. I mean, this is the advanced work. You become conscious of what you feel it, and you accept what you feel. I'm not saying heal it. I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm not saying modify it, because bottom line, if you don't get expert at dealing with what's driving you to some people to drugs, some people to excessive food and inappropriate food choices, which really wrecks their nutrition, they're never going to be able to get off of those habits until they acquire the ability to be excellent with their own internal emotions. And it doesn't take anything more than recognizing them, feeling them, and accepting them. It's magical for anyone who actually does that. Now, we've built up a resistance to doing that. So who likes to feel fear? We usually try and run from it. But if in the safety of your own mind, I mean, I like to picture it this way. If you picture a 5-year-old girl or boy running into the room that you're in right now, and they're crying, and they're obviously terrified, there's two choices you could do. You could say, hey, listen, you cannot be good on this earth if you're just going to cry and scream every time you're upset. Why don't you go in your room, and you come back out when you're done with all that. That's choice A. Here's choice B. Come here, honey. Come sit in my lap. I can see you're really upset. Listen, you just go right ahead and cry. I'm just going to hold you. It's okay to have feelings. We all come to Earth with a lot of fear and sadness and stuff, and you just go right ahead and cry. And the child climbs up in your lap, and boy, if the child's life is relatively decent, they'll have a good cry, and 5 minutes later, they'll crawl off your lap and start playing.
Mm.
If nothing had happened. That's in the best case scenario.
Well, such great advice.
The skill that we need as adults is we need to be able to do that for ourselves so that we recognize when we're feeling fear or anger or sadness, etc. And we just, inside the comfort and safety of our own mind, in our own heart, in our own body, we just breathe and feel and let it be exactly the energy that it is. And if you do that, you're going to experience magic. That emotions or energy in motion, they will not stay stuck. They will move. And, you know, to your utter shock, no matter how terrified you were or how, no, I'm not saying, you know, if you get terror from a saber-toothed tiger entering your living room, that's different. That's a different signal from fear. But the fear I'm talking about is the generic fear that can be triggered in us by almost anything. And if you do that for yourself, if you learn that skill, you're not going to want to reach out for the drugs, for the quote, comfort foods, for the foods that can so provoke you, and then you're going to miss that diet is going to leave you bereft of some very important vitamins and minerals and amino acids that you need to have your feel-good chemistry. So I know it's quite a mouthful, but the skill is this. Recognize what you feel, breathe and feel it, and accept it. Accept it for the energy as it is. If you do that, you will observe that energy will pass. It's learning.
I think you're absolutely right. You know, I learned this from a good friend of mine who's one of the best psychotherapists in town here in LA. Her name is Dr. Joan Rosenberg, and she says 90 seconds is all you need. 90 seconds for you to shift that energy, whether it's anxiety or fear anything, you know, sadness, whatever that your feelings, they are feelings, just like you're saying, you accept it, but in 90 seconds, you can shift it.
And I so agree with that. And the people who shift it in 90 seconds, I mean, I learned for myself that I had to let go of my criteria because I went through a phase where I was doing this technique to get rid of or heal my uncomfortable feelings. And that was a mistake. So I had to be spacious and unlimited. Because acceptance was, as uncomfortable as I was, I had to be the safe space for those feelings for exactly what they were and how long they wanted to be there. And I can say, that when people first embark upon this process, until their skill level is up to Dr. Jones' skill level, because she's describing a wonderful skill, and I totally agree with it. They can melt that quickly when you really do it, the technique all the way. But I think part of it is, don't have any criteria. We're not trying to get rid of these. We're just trying to accept our own uncomfortable feelings. We become a more whole person, and it really works. So all the more power to the many times that 90 seconds is all you need. But as a beginner myself, many, many decades ago, I had to be willing. Sometimes I'd be uncomfortable for an hour. Sometimes I'd be uncomfortable for a day. I couldn't have any criteria because these uncomfortable feelings, they're ancient. I mean, one could say, if anyone's had a challenging childhood, these things go deep. I mean, you were talking about disturbed kids. And sometimes these kids, they're really having a difficult time coping with what's going on in their own home and in school. And, you know, some of them have really rough situations. So sometimes as they grow older, it takes a little more skill and a little more time and a little more patience to help these things rise to the surface, because they will heal. And that's the good news. Sometimes people feel so desperate, like they even can't even believe that they want to stay alive. But with love and support and skills, my God, you can turn your world around. And you wouldn't even, you look back out of the rearview mirror and you went, oh my God, there was a time I didn't even know if I could stay on Earth. And now I feel happy. I just want to lay that possibility down, because people who really do this great work, that's where they wind up. They become themselves. They're not becoming a new person. They're just healing the discomfort that they've been carrying for however many much and how many years they've been doing it. And that, what does that leave behind? Themselves. And they're a whole person because they're willing to accept the whole person, including the parts of themselves that are afraid or angry or feel shame. So,
such wise words here, Doc. Such wise words. You know, I'm Korean, and I've been eating foods that nourish my body. I do so much better with my native food than any other foods. And maybe it's because I also eat a lot of foods that have high levels of probiotics, such as kimchi. We have a lot of fermented foods in our culture. And the one thing that I've been a big, strong proponent for, gosh, I've been in practice 28 years, over 25 years, if not longer, is using probiotics. And just in the last few years, probiotics are considered psychobiotics now. And psychobiotics is basically how probiotics and the gut flora can impact our mood and behavior. I'd like you to speak a little bit about that, because I'm a big believer in how our gut has everything to do with the way we feel and think as well.
What a shock. How could it be that our intestine and the trillions of friendly, important, necessary to us bacteria and other critters that live inside of our gut, how important it is. It's almost like we're one being, because I can tell you, as you know this already, of course, that if you diminish that friendly population that happened to have more DNA and more cells than we have in our body, and they're living in our guts, if those populations get a little funny and we lose part of them, lots of things happen. And one of the effects is on our mood and on our brain. I mean, it's so wild to connect that probiotics, that the beneficial bacteria, and yes, kimchi and the other fermented foods can be such a wonderful natural source of these organisms, because they're the healthy kind are living inside these good fermented foods. And some people, when they get abnormalities in this population that lives within us, they can get very significant challenges to the health of their own mind. And over the long run, I mean, some of the best work that's being done in dementia and in some cases of anxiety and depression has to do with that microbiome, it's called. And so one of the things that I'm sure you do and I've done on almost every single patient I've ever had is we do a very sophisticated poof test. And we get to see what critters are living in that gut and what critters have gone bye-bye. And what probiotics are, is they're actually living beneficial bacteria that we swallow and we repopulate our own guts. And we know that the guts are under a lot of fire. Unfortunately, there's so much antibiotics used in non-organic food in animals. It's shocking. And it has changed. It has developed these drug-resistant, antibiotic-resistant species. So the derangement of the healthy population in our gut is rampant around here, and it's making the news right now. So back to what can you do to help? Well, you can eat fermented foods like actually live yogurt, especially the yogurt you make for yourself, and kimchi and other fermented foods. And also, there's nutritional supplements that I like, and I bet you have your own favorite probiotic products. And my God, I take one every day myself, and I recommend them to most of my patients because this disturbance in the gut is not okay. And it's a possible detrimental effect in having a lot of stuff, including allergy. My God, you can get leaky gut, and you can start reacting to the foods you're eating, and on and on. Yes, the gut microbiome, a huge topic, and one so worth emphasizing.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I looked at your website, iwonderdoctor.com, and it's really amazing because what I love about it is that you've got a lot of videos. It's, you know, a lot of times we go to these websites and it's just all content and words, but yours are loaded with videos. What made you decide to show more video content and for your patient advocacy website?
Well, and most of these videos are between 2 and 5 minutes. I came to the conclusion that it's better to understand one concept and just work that into our very busy lives. One concept at a time. There's 190 videos in that library. But we do it by a weekly school. And, you know, every week someone gets a new video depending on what subject they're most interested in. And my God, if you can get one concept that's practical and valuable that you could actually do, that's like a miracle. If I can make 3 or 5 changes in my own healing process a year, it's wonderful. So we try to keep it understandable and enjoyable because we all like to watch stuff that's fun and put the emphasis on stuff that all of us can do in the minute to minute, hour to hour of our own busy lives, because that's where we'll heal. If we can implement one good practice, then another one, and then another one. So that's how we approach this. Keep it short, keep it simple, hopefully make it enjoyable, memorable, and something that someone can practice. And then you do, you know, if at the end of the year you've integrated 5 important changes to your nutrition and exercise and how you address stress, that could just make such a difference to you. I also learned that with patients. As a young doctor, I had learned so much about nutrition, et cetera, that I tried to give them 50 things. And it just overwhelmed people, and it made them feel bad because they couldn't take all the stuff and do all the stuff at once. So I got it for myself and for them. Hey, listen, one step at a time, make it doable, make it fun.
Well, we were talking about stress and how to mitigate stress. You gave some great tips on number one, being in the moment and feeling it and all that. But also, are there things that you recommend to physically do, like using certain types of methodologies? Like for me, I believe in the nature of, the power of nature, going outside and being in nature, which I called nature bathing, going into the ocean and all that. Do you recommend any of that on your website?
We sure do. And, oh, I'm so with you. I mean, what are the power things we can do, the things that can really make a difference? And my God, the natural world, without going into the details, a walk out into nature or a camping trip, it is so powerful. It will help us heal. And then, you know, we go all the way into, I like to help people over the course of time learn how to transition their diet so that the diet they're eating supports their body rather than is detrimental to their health. Because if people can build energy and build strength, they're going to feel better. And so we make a lot of dietary guidelines. And then in this day and age, when the conventional food supply is so depleted of vitamins and minerals, and the demands of the amount of stress, they're so demanding on the vitamins and minerals that, you know, I recommend nutritional supplements to just about everybody. And so we go through the various nutritional supplements, and you know, a good multiple vitamin, a high quality multiple vitamin, and extra B12, and folic acid, these are active in the mind and in the emotions. A lot of people feel better if they get some more tryptophan in there, because they've usually depleted their serotonin. And, you know, taking the right amount of 5-hydroxytryptophan can help boost back up their serotonin. And then magnesium, there's a list of nutritional supplements that can help some people. And then, my goodness, helping people arrange their sleep, exercise. Oh, my goodness, getting on a wonderful exercise program, one that you like, one that's entertaining to you, that gives you pleasure, so that you don't push yourself and stress yourself and by exercising. This is so known through scientific studies to build up your strength, to build up your heart, to build up your lungs, and to improve mood. It's about as reliable as things get. So you mentioned going out into nature. I put that up there, number one, and plus you're breathing fresh air. And number one, I'd also put exercise up there. Then straighten out that diet, take some nutritional supplements. It'll carry you a long way.
Oh, all of that is so important. And you know, I know that you go through it one by one in can you give me your name again?
I Wonder Doctor.
Yes, there
you go. I Wonder Doctor. I Wonder Doctor.
I Wonder Doctor. IWonderDoctor.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Rose Sweet. Really excited that we got to have you here today. Until next time, go out there and live your best life, full of energy and enthusiasm and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.